Heavenly Father, yes, we bow before you. We have such evidence of your love all around us. Satan's trying to obscure it, trying to get our minds distracted. But Lord, all the way through shines the glory of your love. Spring is such a beautiful time to remind us of that. But now as we open your word, we just ask that you would take these words, that your spirit would touch and use them, Lord, to thine honor and glory. We praise you for your goodness to us. In thy name, amen. Happy Sabbath! Yeah, must be the sunshine. Sounds good, yes. Well, if you remember the last time I was here, we were starting to talk about some of the attributes of God. The last time we spoke about forgiveness, right? Remember how important that is, that we have that character of God within us, and how important it is that we forgive so that he can then touch our hearts and forgive us the many things. So today, I think the deacons have another little handout for you. It's kind of a short one there, but a number of you have mentioned that you appreciated those, jot down little things on, so as they pass those out. I pray that as we consider some of these attributes of God, you find a way, because we're called to follow him, amen? And we want him in our hearts, and we want self to die. And so that as we, by his power, allow him to do that work in us, we find more and more how to lay self aside, and his attributes then come out in the fruits of the Spirit. And so it's that growth that all of his people, he is trying to grow in us. So I pray that today, as we continue that journey a little bit, we will see an important one. As you see, I entitled today's talk, Compassion. I read some years back of an old Jewish rabbi named Levi Yitzhak, if I said that right. He was from Ukraine, and he used to say that he discovered the meaning of love from a drunken peasant. Interestingly enough, he'd entered a tavern in the Polish countryside, and he saw two peasants sitting at a table, and they were both, as he put it, gloriously in the cup. So they had been imbibing there for a while, but each was protesting how much they loved each other. When Ivan said to Peter, he said, "Peter, just tell me what hurts me." Bleary-eyed, Peter looked at Ivan and said, "Well, how do I know what hurts you?" Ivan's answer was swift. He said, "If you don't know what hurts me, how can you say you love me?" Something to think about for a moment, isn't it? Because our culture has mangled and manipulated this word love. It's used all kinds of ways, and it adds to the confusion because we use the same word to describe the infinite sacrifice of Jesus in Calvary. And we use the same word to the love between husband and wife. We have our love for pets. I've even known a few who have a love for a certain food. I'm sure it's none of you. All kinds of things that we call love. It's no wonder the world is confused about God's love. Because even those who wear his name often express in different ways. So if you turn today in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, foundation text for today, starting in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. "For no man hath seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." What a promise. What a beautiful picture of love. I think there's one word that kind of sums up that passage of Scripture, and that word would be compassion. Now, I had to go to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary and describe compassion as this, quote, A sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Isn't that interesting? It's not just to feel it. It calls for an action. Compassion. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Over in Matthew 9:36, speaking of Jesus, says, "But when he saw the miracles, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd." Or Psalm 111:4 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Psalm 112, verse 4, "He is gracious, full of compassion and righteousness." When David prayed to the Lord for forgiveness of his great sin, he prayed in Psalm 51:1. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion," or my King James says, "tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Do you want your transgressions blotted out? Praise God for his compassion. He sees our need and alleviates it. The word is translated compassion in my King James Bible 40 different times. It's a key part of God. While you're in 1 John, let's turn back to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 17. It says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." The Greek word here, and you know I didn't take Greek, I think it's pronounced the splenchma. It means your intestines or the bowels or entrails. It's the inside. It's where we get this idea of a gut-level reaction. It comes from deep within us, a core feeling. In the Hebrew, there's a related word for compassion. It's called rachamim, which refers to the womb of Yahweh, the heart, the deep feelings of God that comes out. It's powerful, it's deep, it's personal, it's the emotional center that God is talking of. So, in our first text here today in 1 John 4, is number one in your little handout there, is that God is a God of, I'm sure you know it, I'm going to choose compassion today. God is love, yes, but I gotcha. Write them both in. You're absolutely right. Neither one is wrong. But today I was going to say God is a God of compassion. God's not just some man upstairs or celestial mist or invisible president of outer space, I've heard some people say. No, he's a God of compassion, intimately aware of each of our lives and what we need. He's moved with compassion from deep inside, if we dare say, the gut of omnipotence. Of Yahweh. That's how strongly he loves you and feels. And he loves you so much that he moved from heaven down to this sinful earth. And he came because of his concern for humanity suffering. His heart was torn. His gut was twisted in knots. He sent his son into the world, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because he had compassion. Not just feeling for us, but then wanting to alleviate the problem. The depth of compassion. Because Jesus so closely felt our sorrow. He became hungry with the hungry, right? He became thirsty with the thirsty. He was despised with the despised. He was lonely with the lonely. He knows what it is to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Think about that. God, our Creator, knows what it feels like to have the feelings you have, the struggles you have. Remember, he even once said that my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Of course, that's Matthew 26:38. He knows what it is to have a heart split open with burdens and pain. He even felt the pain of God turning his back on him at the cross. He needed to suffer the separation from the Father as the second death to pay our penalty. When we die, we're still not separated from God. Amen? He knows where we are. He's going to call us forth. But the wages of sin is that total separation from God. That's why Christ cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a separation you and I pray, will never know. He is a God of compassion because that grief cries down through the halls of time. And he knows your hurts. And he knows what hurts you. For God is the God of compassion. Number two, God accepts me as I am. God accepts me as I am. Say hallelujah. Because while we were yet sinners, right? Christ died for us. To experience the compassion of Jesus enables you then to be compassionate towards yourself. You ever thought of that? Ask yourself, what does Jesus think of me now? How does he feel about me? Put it in first person, for you. For Jesus loves you beyond all imagination. You cannot wrap your mind around it. Because it's shocking, though, how Christians sometimes get impatient and actually irritated with their mistakes and their shortcomings as they're growing. And Satan will take that and he will threaten to crush out your Christian experience. So remember to give yourself a little compassion as you grow. Because Jesus calls me to repent of my sins, as he does you. He wants me to acknowledge my failure and then forget it. Remember last time we spoke? What does Jesus do with our sins? The depths of the sea. In that other text where he throws it behind his back. Like it's not even there. They're gone. Satan tries to stir it back up and bring it up and throw it back in our face. When we are forgiven and we truly turn from that sin, it's gone. Praise God. Praise God. Because when we get living with the power of his Spirit, we can move forward out of what we were yesterday. And yeah, you may stumble and fall, but like a child who's learning to walk, don't get overly disturbed by it. Get up and go on again, holding on to Jesus' hand all the tighter. Now, if you try to fall down, intentionally choose to sin, well, repent well. Weep before the cross. Consider the cost of redemption and seek forgiveness with anguish. Make that heart feel and to see it, and then believe in God's compassion and move on in faith. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. So number two, God accepts me as I am, and then he loves me too much to leave me like I am. And he continues our growth. Okay, number three, God expects me to be like him. God actually expects me to be like him. He accepts me how I am, but through his power and his grace, he doesn't want me to stay the way I am. He wants me to continue to grow. You remember Matthew 5:48, where it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We are never more like him, maybe, than when we are choked with compassion for others. When we consider the depth of his compassion for us. Because those who have truly understood and accepted God's forgiveness of themselves will be equally understanding and forgiving of others. One of my most unhappy with myself? It's when I'm most critical and condemning of others, because it's a reflection of what's still in me. And to be criticized is not nearly as painful as realizing that you may still have the desire to criticize in return. Those who criticize are in need of compassion. So number three, God expects me to be like Him. Because those who criticize you are in need of compassion themselves. Not pity, compassion and love. Big difference. Now, Jesus was not severe or judgmental of those who were caught in human weakness, addicted to sins of the flesh, remember? The Bible says that He receiveth sinners. That's all of us. But Jesus was tough on some. You know who they were? They were the ones who were guilty of hypocrisy, who claimed one thing and did another. We read this, Christ Object Lessons, page 388. He permits us, get that? He permits us to come in contact with suffering and calamity in order to call us out of our selfishness. He seeks to develop in us the attributes of His character, compassion, tenderness, and love. Close quote. He permits us to come in contact with suffering and calamity in order to call us out of our selfishness. Wow. John 13:35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our culture is caught in this desire to be better dressed, better educated, wealthier, or whatever than the next person. We grow up thinking we need to climb social ladders and there's power plays, and we so much fail to realize that we're even doing it, and we forget that God is keeping record. Everything, even what we're thinking. And He uses a different method of record keeping than we would like to, until we realize God is willing and loving and compassionate to blot it all out. By this shall all men know. And he would be great must become a servant of all. You see how these attributes of God keep coming to the surface? And He keeps calling us to bring it into our life and to let it grow and to bloom. And friends, today society is not going that way, is it? Compassion does away with all ideas of superiority, of competition, all prejudice against color, prejudice against political parties, prejudice against vaccinated or unvaccinated, or prejudice against masked or not masked, on and on. Satan never stops dumping stuff on us to let prejudice and opinions and hard hearts come to the surface. But compassion eliminates conceits, prideful vanities. It calls us to a shared humanity with those who God loves and for which He has compassion, to accept them all in all of their emptiness, in all of their personality quirks, their character defects, how they're different than us, all of that. Just think how Jesus thinks and feels as He looks on planet Earth at the plethora of peoples and problems and situations. That's what we're called to. That's the root of compassion. God expects His people to lift our cross daily, to die to self, to invite and have His character within us. And when we do, we're like Him. God expects us to be like Him. He wants us to grow, to be ready to live in eternal happiness with holy beings. By His power and grace, we can. Number four, true compassion results in, what do you think? Love? Yeah, that's a good one. Relationship? That's good. You know me, I got to pick one you didn't think of. True compassion results in action. Jesus said, you know, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's an action. The compassion of Jesus working in you will cause you to feel for, to suffer with, and to endure alongside others of fallen humanity. Because there but the grace of God go I. Christ Object Lesson, page 313. Whatever our profession, that's not your job, that means what you're saying. Whatever our profession, it amounts to nothing unless Christ is revealed in works of righteousness. Close quote. So this is more than just being of help. Compassion involves a desire, a in-depth, from the gut, strong desire to carry their burdens for them, even to suffer for them. Isn't that what God did for us? You know, there have been times when I maybe didn't want to help someone because I thought they were undeserving or wouldn't appreciate the help, or they might even misuse or abuse the gift. But then I realized that I too am undeserving. I don't appreciate enough. And yeah, I've even misused and abused God's gifts He's given me. Gifts of love and mercy. And I'm ashamed and kneel at the cross. We need to constantly be looking for and thinking about how we can be of service to each other and to others along the way home. Uplift one another. And I think one of the things that we've missed for decades in our evangelism, etc., and it's a little saying, I know you've heard it, but it is true, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Christ's method alone. I love John Wesley's creed. You know the Methodist? John Wesley. He had this creed. I hope you've heard it before. It's too good. This is his rule for his life. Quote, he says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's pretty good, isn't it? I should have printed that one out for you. I can get it to you later, or you can look it up. Well known, John Wesley's creed for his life. What a wonderful thought. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people that you can, as long as you ever can. Turn to Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Don't you love how Jesus tells stories? And when by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave him to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Let's speak to our heart today. In this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus indicates clearly that 2 out of 3 flunked the test. Why? Because they didn't do anything. It wasn't because they didn't have knowledge of the gospel. It wasn't because they did or didn't understand the Sabbath or the mark of the beast or why a vegetarian diet is better, or any other great and truthful doctrines, it's because they didn't act. They didn't do anything. They failed because it was a betrayal of the compassion of Jesus to fail to do something when given the opportunity. So compassion finds a need and fills it. It locates Jesus in others. And in ministering to them, you minister to him. Because in this sense, Jesus is all around us, isn't he? From human suffering and trouble, he calls to you for a cup of water. Here is where he hurts. Now, I'm not speaking to you only of some big trouble or tragedy. You can pick them around the world, Ukraine, Africa, Russia, America, Afghanistan, whatever. Not that alone. I'm speaking to you about compassion for a brother or a sister in the pew beside you, or in front of you, or behind you, or at home. Worse yet, maybe the ones you've hurt no longer come and fellowship with us. Maybe for years, I don't know. Because sadly, it seems that about every church in every denomination has alienated someone somewhere along the line. We have shown a lack of Christ-like compassion. Not always. Some folks just harden their hearts and turn. But we need to search our hearts and ask, Lord, is there someone I need to visit, to encourage, maybe even to ask that forgiveness we were talking about a couple weeks ago? But Jesus is the good shepherd, amen? And he knows all his sheep by name. But friends, he's also the Lion of Judah. He will relentlessly pursue you if you wander away. It may seem he'll even grab you and shake you. I've experienced that. He pursued me. He got my attention. And he wants all people to come to him. What can we do out of compassion and love and forgiveness to seek to reach out to those that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart about? But God will work in us, because whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, right? Like a loving parent disciplining their child. You ever heard that opening line, this hurts me more than it hurts you? Or I'm doing this because I love you? You know, yeah, I remember hearing those. I'm not sure I understood it at the time. And it can take a while for a child to believe that and to understand that. And we as God's children, when he allows the natural courses of our sinful choices to come back on us, we feel God allowing punishment into our lives, and we'll wonder and think that God experiences his love in a strange way. But yet it's certainly true for him, because he took the divine punishment and the wrath against sin upon himself that we deserved. And he gave up his very life that you and I can have eternal life. It's amazing. So he's not only the lion, he's also the lamb that was killed, the one who felt the pains. And as our divine shepherd, he knows how to heal wounds and close separations if we will only let him. Let's turn real quick. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. There's that term again, that deep gut feeling, that deep inside you, the heart of hearts, from the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfection. What wonderful direction. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Wonderful directions from the word of the Lord. Amen. Okay, in closing, let's turn to 1 John again, chapter 4, where we started. 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. For herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For no man hath seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now just drop down to verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. We need to learn how to truly love one another, amen? In the spirit and the character of Christ. No grudges, no hard feelings, no gossip, nothing but sweet, honest, godlike, brotherly love with compassion. Sympathetic consciousness of others' distress with a desire to alleviate it. Compassion. Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Dear God, another day is done, and I have seen the golden sun swing in the arch from east to west and sink behind the pines to rest. I thank thee that thou gavest me the power of sight, that I may see the tinted glories of thy skies and earthly glimpse of paradise. The power to hear the evening breeze swelling in melodious harmonies. The power to feel the tender grasp of loving hands in friendship's clasp. I thank thee for these gifts to me. But one thing more I ask of thee. From out of thy bounteous, gracious hand, give me the power to understand. To understand, to sympathize, to note the pain in others' eyes, to have the power rightly to read the kindly motive of each deed. And this I humbly ask of thee, because I know thou lovest me. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer. We recognize our need of your heart, your character within us. So Lord, may we be touched with true compassion on those around us. And that those people then, Lord, when we exhibit your character, then their hearts are open to your spirit. And then, Father, I ask that we would glorify you in sharing news about the wonderful Savior. So, Lord, we thank you for being patient with us. And we ask you to keep doing the work in us that only you know that we need. And may we, in thy name and power, uplift each other. And the more as the day comes, we ask and praise you in Christ's holy name. Amen.